welcome back to another episode of Already Friends. This is Kara.
And this is Allison.
Today, we're back with our How to Thrive in 2025 series. Today's topic is physical wellness, and more specifically, why people don't prioritize their physical wellness, common hurdles and excuses, us included, and how we're combating them this coming year.
But as always, we're going to catch up, share our peaks of the week, and then we will get into the physical wellness topic. How was your weekend? You went to Nashville.
Yes, weekend in Nashville, the Music City. It was my cousin Reagan. It was her 21st birthday. So happy birthday, Reagan. It was very, very fun. It was just a quick 48 hours. And I feel like there's destinations in the US. I'm going to say Nashville, Vegas, maybe Miami. I feel like you only need 48 hours. Get in, get out, and you're good. And it was so much fun. We went in. We got there Friday. Got there like Friday afternoon. Went out Friday. Did like a little theme. It was like black and gold. Reagan wore gold. We all did black. Hit the town. We did Broadway. And I went to Jason Aldean's. It's like a big famous concert venue bar thing. It was my sister, me, Reagan, my cousin, and my other cousin, Michaela. And then Michaela's mom, my Aunt Laura Jean, and then my mom. So there was six of us. So we went out Friday. Did all that. Saturday, you've been in Nashville, right? Because I remember you talking about this. It was one of those cities that you hadn't been to, right?
Yeah.
And you knocked out.
Well, I ended up there because I was itching to take a trip, and I put five destinations that I hadn't been to in a bowl. Like, I wrote the name of the place on a piece of paper and then picked it out. Because I like kind of had wanted to go to Nashville, but nothing was getting me there. And so I pulled it. And same. I was like, oh, 48 hours in and out. Yeah. And then I ended up going to Franklin, which is like kind of by there, for the rest of it.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, this is more my speed.
Oh, yeah. We got tons of recommendations to go to Franklin. We're like, we're only here for, and we're here more for like the party thing. So I feel like Broadway and like being downtown was it, but we did have a couple people that were like, if you guys drove here, like make sure to spend time in Franklin, which I have before. So me and my mom both love Franklin and have spent some time there. But yes.
And you were with a group. Like, I was on a solo trip. I'm like, why am I in Nashville by myself? Like, this is not a solo traveler destination. Not that you couldn't have fun, but
yeah, I think Franklin now does have like all the going out stuff too. So that would also be very fun. But we went shopping at 12 South. It's like this cute little street with all these stores, boutiques. So we did that Saturday, got lunch there. I will say that we had so much fun. I really did love Nashville. I've been there three or four times before. I was shocked since COVID. This is the first time I've been there really since COVID. I think I stopped for like dinner in like 2020 on the way when I moved to Charleston for the summer. But everything is so expensive now. And I think they're doing it because there's so many people that moved there. But if anyone listening lives in Nashville, I think they'll relate. The parking at 12 South, I was like, oh, I'll pay for the parking. It was $17 an hour. I've never seen a price like that in my entire life for street parking. I was shocked. I was like, oh, damn, we should have just Ubered over here. So that was like a little, that was like the price tag scare of the weekend. I'm like, oh my gosh, Nashville. Because I feel like when I went there, last time I was at 12 South was 2017. And it was like so different. I feel like I was in Soho. That was definitely the vibe. So things have definitely changed, but it was still really fun. We got some cute, people bought like jewelry. There was like Missouri, lots of bougie brands there. So I was curious if you'd been, because it has totally changed since I have been there. But no, we went out again on Saturday. We did more of like early afternoon day, went out on Broadway. It was probably like three or four. That was really fun. And then the younger cousins. I don't know if anyone saw my TikTok. I don't know if you saw it, but it was definitely like the 21-year-old cousins versus the older like 26, 28-year-old cousins. They were like, they wanted to go, 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 go. And we're like, guys, we can't do it like that anymore. We're old. We can't. But I will say we went out during the day on Saturday, and then the older cousins or the younger cousins wanted to go back out at night. So they went out like 10:30, 11. And my mom and aunt and McKenna were like, this is too much. Like, we're so tired. We can't do it. But I rallied. I went out with the younger cousins. They roped me into being 21 again. And we went out at like 10:30, 11 on Saturday night. Stayed out till like 2. Got back. Stayed up talking until 3. So it felt like a very college weekend again. I'm like, I feel like I really tapped into that youthful energy with the 21-year-olds. And then I drove back yesterday. It's 4.5 hours from St. Louis. So not too far. Nice little weekend trip. And now I'm back. And it was a really good time. I hadn't been there, probably since college. So it was fun to go back and have like a little going out weekend.
That sounds really fun, especially getting to go back to a place older that you went to when you were younger. It's fun to compare how you are now to how you experienced a place back then. I always find that very interesting.
Yeah, there was one bar we were at and I was seeing all the writing, like people wrote in Sharpies on the wall and I was seeing 2015. I think that was when I was there. I was literally there in the spring of 2015. And I was like looking for my name because I was like, I swear I wrote on this wall, but I didn't find it. But I was like, dang, next time I do that, if you ever write on a wall, you really need to like find a corner and like really be that annoying person. You know how we always see that annoying person that like writes it really big with a heart or like something obnoxious? I'm like, no, dang it. If I had just been that obnoxious person, I would find it right now. But I think I had just written in the big jumble and like now it's 10 years later. But I was seeing ones from when I was there. I'm like, I totally wrote on here, but I couldn't find it. So yes, it was fun being back. I think my favorite thing we did, this is a very touristy thing, but it was actually very worth it and cute. Going to Dolly Parton's hotel. It's called the Graduate Hotel by Hilton. She has like a whole Dolly Parton themed hotel and there's a big rooftop that's Dolly Parton themed. It's called White Limousine. That's one of her album names. That was actually very fun, very worth it. I feel like a touristy spot needs to be the perfect blend of like cute aesthetic without being tacky. I feel like there's a tacky, Instagrammy, cheap version of like tourist destinations. And this one wasn't. This one was very well done, very well designed, good drinks, good music. So I highly recommend going to White Limousine. That was definitely like one of my favorite things we did. It was like very good vibes. The bartenders were so nice. And that was one of the first places where I got carded. And that was fun because we're like, oh my gosh, she's getting carded. So yeah, that was my good little Nashville weekend.
Oh, that's so fun. It's good that someone with that much resources was able to channel that into a high quality experience. Like, I'm sure that was fun for her in that town to be able to all that together.
I was thinking, I'm like, Dolly's out here cementing her legacy while she's still alive. She's like, I'm going to be a part of Nashville. Like Dolly Parton theme, kind of like Elvis has Memphis and like people, all these celebrities and country singers now have like bars. It's like the Miranda Lambert bar, yeah, the Jason Aldean bar. I love that for her. Like she's making an iconic Nashville destination.
Wait, speaking of that, I can't believe I haven't brought it up yet. And I definitely wasn't going to last week because it was the digital detox episode. But sometime over like the Christmas holiday, I watched the Martha Stewart documentary and I can't believe we haven't talked about it. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't. Like literally everyone's talking about it.
It was pretty good. Just similar energy, like of the cementing the legacy. And it just had me thinking like, those people really just have the audacity or like the confidence, like to brand your name to that extent. You have to really have a level of delusion or something to be like, not only am I going to make myself famous, but I'm going to put my name on this entire brand. Like people are going to be wearing it, hanging out here, buying it, whatever. It's simultaneously like a little egotistical, but then on the consumer side, it's like, I love it. You know, like you were like having such a fun time going to the Dolly Parton themed place or an Elvis themed place. But then to think about being the person that's like, all right, I'm going to make all of this about me. That would be really hard.
I was thinking that in the Morgan Wallen bar because he's so young. Because like maybe the bigger name ones, people that have been around for forever, like a Miranda Lambert or Jason Aldean, like you're not even questioning that. But I was like, damn, Morgan Wallen's really out here with a bar named after him. And he's only been famous for like 5 years. I don't know. That one did feel crazy to me. I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, that sounds kind of surreal. If I was him, I'd be like, whoa, this is my bar.
It's named after me.
And people are coming here because it's named after me.
And as a business owner, you know that when a customer is in your business, it's like a reflection of you. And that was like a big thing when I transitioned from New Wave to 1404 Collective. I was like, I want my name less attached. So that way, I don't know, take some stress and anxiety off. Like I would be geeking out a little bit if like my name is on everything at a bar, that then if people have a negative experience, even with like the food or the drinks or other customer interactions, especially, you know, people, alcohol involved. Like there's a lot that can happen at bars that I'm just thinking of PR. I'm like, okay, guy is creepy at a bar, gets roofied, bad headline.
At the Morgan Wallen bar. It's Morgan Wallen's fault. He's like, what?
That's what I mean.
Live here.
Exactly.
What?
He's like, I'm not here managing it. Yeah.
No, that's so true. Okay.
I don't even know why that's where my brain went with all of that, but.
No, I mean, I agree. If you can build a brand, and it is all about just your delusion, what you think is possible. It kind of relates to the How to Thrive in 2025 series. You got to take away those negative self-limiting beliefs.
Mm-hmm. I am excited to talk more about that in a couple of weeks because it will be like a good practice for me to go through of what mine currently are. But Yes. I'll save that for another time. Okay, for my week, I will admit I was homesick for maybe like the first time ever. And I think it's because it's been really rainy and cold here. I didn't even know it could get that cold. I don't know if you'd seen the TikToks of people coming to Tulum or Cancun or Playa del Carmen being like, it is freezing. They're like in a blanket on the beach covered up.
Oh my gosh.
Legitimately cold. And I don't have clothes like that here. So I've been wearing the same one long sleeve and like breezy beach linen pants for like a week. I have my socks that I usually are like for the airport.
Yeah.
I have that one outfit. It's not like for here. It's for the day that I travel. And so that was definitely playing into it because I'm like, it's supposed to be sunny here. Like, that's why I'm here. If I don't know what to do, I just go enjoy being outside. And so it was definitely like a big test of having to sit with those emotions. And then I caved and booked a flight back to Omaha because I messaged Jesse and was like, hey, what are you doing this weekend? She's like, I'll be in Omaha. And I was like, okay, I'm going to come stay with you. Let's like go to a bunch of workout classes, make a cute weekend of it. Okay, all good. I get a call from American Airlines and they're like, hey, you need to submit Peach's health certificate. And I'm like, what do you mean? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, no, I don't have to do that. I've flown with her like literally 50 times in the last year. What are you talking about? Well, as of January 1st, apparently there's this screw worm in Central America and a cow in Mexico got it from a cow in Honduras. And the US government is worried about that cow then contaminating our livestock and animals in the US. So now any animal coming into the US has to have this health certificate within 3 days of coming into the country. Okay, well, that particular health certificate they have for Colombia as well. And you guys probably remember, I was like all set on moving to Colombia. It's more affordable there. I love the like year-round weather in Medellin. I love Medellin. Well, the main reason I didn't is because you have to have that health certificate. And I was like, this is insane to have to like go through the USDA. You have to do it 3 days before your flight, ensure that the animal is test negative. And then if they don't, you're like, okay, well now I have to like cancel my whole trip within like 24 hours, basically. Makes it like so complicated to go back and forth. So a huge reason I chose Mexico was because you didn't have to do any of that. I could just take Peaches back and forth. I mean, of course I had to register her once and like she has her ID number, but kind of like a passport. You do it once and you're good to go for a certain amount of time. And now I just like, I'm having so many emotions about that because I'm like, what the fuck? Like the main reason I chose Tulum was because there's an airport here. It's supposed to be easy to be able to go back and forth. And I love going back to Omaha like once every 4 to 5 weeks to see people, check on the shop. I still have ClassPass.
Yeah.
I still have my Plank partnership. Like I still like to have a foot in that world. And now I feel like that's such a hurdle. So when I was homesick, I was like, okay, do I want to go through this effort? And of course, Tulum is too small. So there's not an authorized vet here to approve that health certificate. So I have to go up to Playa del Carmen to do this examination, get the results. It's like probably 2.5 hours by moped. Like, it's not a convenient thing.
Oh my God.
I know. And so now it's kind of like it was giving me anxiety as well because I'm like, okay, then if something happens like to a family member or the shop or something, like now I can just like go back, but now it's like find a sitter. And then I don't know. I just like want her with me. So that was just like sad and frustrating, I guess. And then I had to sit with staying here and was like, okay, what am I wanting right now? And I was like, I want girl time. And I feel like I kept going to like coffee shops or something. Two highlights. I went to Tulum Dinner Club and Tulum Cafe Club, and it was very fun. I've gone quite a few times over the last 6 months. Gigi, the girl that coordinates it, her and I have become good friends. But it made me realize through this that there are so many solo male travelers that come to Tulum and not that many solo girl travelers that come to Tulum. Like I met these sisters that were really, really cool. They were from Indiana. There's always girls here on bachelorette parties and stuff, but not that many girls come to solo travel to Tulum. And that's important because if I'm sitting at a cafe, it's like if there's a group of girls, they're like already doing their thing. If two sisters, you know, they have each other versus like these guys that are by themselves. They're like, oh, hey, do you live here? And I'm like, where's the girls?
Yeah.
Like I want girl time. And of course, like it's not that I'm declining talking to those guys. Like it's still interesting and good to network and meet people. But I'm like, I'm really missing my like Jesse and Mick and my female friendships in my life from the shop. Like I didn't realize with working 1404, we have primarily a female customer base that even those like micro female interactions, going to plank, going to power life. It's just like a lot more feminine energy, even if I'm not one-on-one hanging out with the girls. And I realized that that is a big thing that I don't have here that I need to acknowledge and figure out. And I don't know, it's just like hard and it will be fine, but actually like coming to terms with that. So I just like stayed busy and I did socialize. My friend David, he's from Toronto. We'd been like Instagram friends forever. He's here this week. So we've been hanging out. But again, he's a boy.
Doesn't help the situation.
Yeah. So that's kind of what I'm going through. But
is the dog thing permanent? Is that a permanent change or is that just for this epidemic?
Yeah, it's like until further notice.
Ugh, that's frustrating.
I know. It feels like when my passport expired, it's funny that we brought this up like literally last week or the week before, because immediately I was just like upset. Like made me realize like my freedom and independence is like everything to me. And when that's threatened, I feel so claustrophobic and like mad. That's just my natural reaction. So I like went and was like, where can I go to box? Because I am pissed off about this. Like, and there's nothing I can do about it. It's not like, oh, you can pay to have this go away or you can do this other thing to make it more convenient. It's like, no, this is the law. Like I have to follow it. So there's a boxing class at 7 tonight. I will be going.
Moral of the story. That's how you'll be done with the frustration.
Coping with this. Yeah. But if you're ready to transition into peaks, I'll say my peak from this though. I completely reorganized and deep cleaned in my apartment. And that was really healing because now I've been saying it, but like now I'm like, oh, I finally live here. Like something about not only just moving here, but then being here long enough to have now rearranged my apartment and I have indoor plants and it's set up way more how I want feels like something that you do when you call a place home. Like, you know what I mean? Like to have stayed somewhere long enough that you're like, oh, I have to like properly deep clean. I can reorganize and rearrange. And the feng shui is just so much better. I love it so much. And now I'm like, I want to host people. Where's the girls? Come over.
Like, how do I find the girls? Come over. Yes.
Yeah. So that was my peak. What was yours?
I'm going to say back to Nashville. I'll say two things. My peak was, of course, getting to hang out with my two cousins, which they grew up in Pennsylvania and in the DC, Maryland, Virginia area, Baltimore area. So we just never saw them as much growing up. We only saw them once a year or like every other year. So it was fun to actually have a weekend to feel like we really got to bond and hang out. That was definitely my peak. Also, the whole weekend, we all kept saying, everything works out for us. We were very much tapping into the lucky girl syndrome, and it definitely worked. Like, we didn't wait in any line ever. We always got what we wanted. If we had to wait for anything, it was like 5 minutes, like for a table at a restaurant. But like, literally everything worked out for us. One of the bars we went to, there was a really long line around the corner. And I was like, no, lucky girl syndrome. We're not waiting in this line. I literally walked up and I was like, can we cut? And they're like, yeah, sure, come on in. We literally cut the line. I'm like, sometimes you literally just have to ask. And they gave us bottle service wristbands. They're like, just go up to bottle service. Like, go for it. I'm like, wow. It really is just asking sometimes. So definitely a little reminder for everybody to tap into your lucky girl syndrome and to ask for things. Because I'm like, wow, I literally just said, can we cut? And they're like, yeah, go for it. I'm like, what? That's so funny.
Like, it was that easy? Okay.
It was really that easy. Yes. So those were my peaks.
I love that. I actually have one more peak and it's very boring, but I got the license plate for my moped. I forgot that that was actually really exciting. I went to a guest store. Yeah. I don't know if any of you guys are ever planning on moving abroad, but I leaned into just hiring the service where they do it for you because I was like, I'm overwhelmed and it was so worth paying the extra money to like have the proper card and paperwork and my license plate. I had all of those police incidences in the last 6 months because they just pull people over and check all the paperwork because they're trying to make money. And now I feel like I can run errands without like triple checking if there's police like over my shoulder.
Yeah, being stressed. Oh, okay, great. Yay. All right, should we do listener peaks?
Listener peaks.
Rachel said, I visited my bestie in Charleston and got to meet her new baby. Aw, so glad you had some good girls time.
Nicole said, journaled through the 8 dimensions of wellness with my boyfriend at a coffee shop. That's amazing. I love that you did that with your partner as well.
Love the simple one. Lauren said, her peak of the week was a slow Sunday. Definitely love a sundae. We are big sundae girls here, so can appreciate that.
As always, send in your peaks of the week on our Instagram story box every Monday. The handle is Arty Friends Podcast.
Something I've been diving into and learning more about are hormone disruptors and how there's over 1,000 disruptors daily in our lives. Things in our food, our water, the air we breathe, our clothes, our skincare, all of these things mess up our hormones, and our bodies also go through natural hormonal changes. But with all of this, it does not mean that we have to suffer through it. And the good news is that there is a product out there to help. It's called Hormone Harmony, and they are a sponsor of the show. Hormone Harmony is a formula made with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. That's why Hormone Harmony is perfect for all women who are struggling with PMS symptoms, menopause symptoms, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep, feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas. Hormone Harmony can help with all of these things. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon, and there's a reason that it has over 30,000 positive reviews, and a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. So if you resonate with any of these symptoms, any of these issues, for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code ALREADYFRIENDS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com, and use the code ALREADYFRIENDS to get your Hormone Harmony and start to feel more like yourself. Again, ALREADYFRIENDS at happymammoth.com for 15% off. Thanks to Happy Mammoth for sponsoring the show. Okay, getting into these common hurdles and excuses around physical wellness. We wanted to switch up how we were talking about physical wellness, because if you're new here, or as you guys know, it's our third year kind of doing this, kicking off the new year series, and we revolve it around the eight dimensions of wellness. So for the last 2 years, we've done a physical wellness episode, and both of them, we had amazing guests on who are very knowledgeable in the actual nitty-gritty of physical wellness, protein, macros, micros, all that kind of stuff. So we were thinking, we already did an episode of, you know, more of that detailed stuff with actual working out, actual eating. So we kind of thought, how can we do like more psychological, different spin on this? And we kind of came up with these different excuses. And then I think you had some good thoughts at this as well.
Yeah, I was just feeling like physical wellness is the number one area of the eight dimensions where we can get really in our head and make excuses about. And maybe because it's really just you, like with your career, there's like outside factors, you know, your boss, your coworkers, you can change industries. With social wellness, you're depending on other people, but your physical wellness is completely dependent on you. No one can go to the gym for you. No one can make you go to bed on time. Like everything with physical is pretty much you listening to your body and doing what you need to do. And I think that that can make it really hard to follow through with things or knock it in our head. Or just, yeah, make excuses that we can't achieve what we want to do because of all of these external factors that are limiting us, as well as the internal factors like your mindset and discipline and motivation. And kind of like we said in the first episode of this How to Thrive in 2025 series, we really wanted to be along there with you guys. Mm-hmm. And so we felt like going through this and talking about our own excuses that we've made, our own hurdles, would be a little bit more relatable than acting like we are the fittest people you guys have ever seen. Because personally, yeah. I'm not a personal trainer. Like this, I love to move my body, but it's not like I went to school for kinesiology. Yeah. I'm like, I don't even know how to say it. Like that's just not my area of expertise. So this is a different spin. I think that we can provide value and be like, yeah, we're right along there with you guys of trying to find solutions, ways around making it more attainable and realistic to meet our physical wellness goals as just like normal people.
Absolutely. Well, definitely one of the first hurdles or struggles with our physical goals is definitely lack of motivation. That is probably my number one barrier is, and just sometimes I wake up and I'm like, oh my God, I can't do this. Like I'm so tired. I want the extra hour, 2 hours of sleep. I don't feel like it. And you pin this down to a very good reason. And I would love for you to go into this.
Are you talking about cycle syncing?
Yes. And like our hormones. And this is so true because sometimes when I wake up and I'm like, I can't do this, I have you cycle syncing to either encourage me to just push through and go. Cause I'm like, no, this is your best time of the month for energy, you're just being lazy. Or if I'm like day one of my period and I'm like, oh my God, I can't do this. It's like, okay, wait, actually you can take a breather because cycle syncing has taught me that.
Yeah, 100%. I didn't even know that this existed 5 years ago. Like, I think this kind of came more onto the scene in the early years of the podcast. So probably 2021, 2022 is when it became more common knowledge. And we've brought it up a little bit, but I think it's so important as a woman to recognize how much that really impacts your entire physical well-being and your mental well-being. Men operate on a 24-hour hormone cycle. So that is why across the board, men are labeled as like being more even keel, being more grounded, and women are labeled as like crazy or chaotic or unhinged or unstable. Oh, like, all right, what version am I getting of you today? Women, they have a longer cycle between 28 to maybe like 30 some days. And with all of the different birth controls out there, they can either help or hinder or just make you out of touch with your body. Me personally, I was on the depo shot for like 10 years or something crazy. Like, why? I didn't even have the knowledge to know that that was not something that I wanted to be on and how it was affecting me because it took away my period. And then even when I got off depo, I didn't get a period for like 2 years. So I feel like I've only been able to be in touch with this side of myself for maybe like 4 years now, which is like a huge part of being a woman. And I made a post on Lemonade, reasons I enjoy getting my period. And I was like, you know, it allows me to appreciate my female body. Like, women are incredible. We do all these other things that men do. We go to work, we raise kids, we cook, we have to go to the gym, we gotta buy Christmas gifts for people. We have to do all that with this hormone cycle that's going up and down. And we're supposed to like remain even keel while we're like bleeding and have cramps and all of this stuff. And it's just incredible that women are able to do this and we're so strong. And I don't know, it just like made me really reframe how empowering that could be instead of, I don't know, being mad at my body for going through that. And then allowing myself to rest when I need to rest or to push it when it is okay to push it. And it's just, it's really changed my life mentally and physically to be more dialed into my cycle and to appreciate it. And the more I have cycle synced to my workouts, nutrition, and mindset with those four phases, my periods are like beautiful now. I like hardly get cramps. I hardly ever have a zit come out. I like get excited when I have it because your blood, obviously this is what we're talking about, but it's a really good measure of your overall health, how your period is. Like, you know, if you don't have a period, you're not fertile. Like that's, as a woman, quite an alarm if that something is going on in your body if you're not having a healthy period. And so I know that we also have male listeners. If you did the due diligence to learn about the four phases to be a better husband and help support your female partner, if you're in a straight relationship, that is such a gift that you could give your female partner because it's taking the time to like literally learn how they are and function in society. Like it's the foundation of who a woman is her. We were made to give birth to life. So in order to have success in your career and be a good friend and all these things, like I think on a foundational level, to be tapped into your cycle is like the key component here.
1000%. And it, because I feel like with this whole topic of excuses and hurdles, it's all about what's getting in your head. And your hormones affect fully how you perceive the world, how you act. So I feel like cycle syncing is kind of the data points that can get me out of my head with or tap into my head of being like, okay, no, this is, you are pushing yourself too hard for this certain day. So I guess breaking it down of what this looks like for us. For me, I use a free period tracking app. Maybe I'll upgrade to one of the paid ones, but I've been using the free one for literally 7 years, 8 years now. It's called Period Tracker. And it is such an important tool for me because I like to see, okay, I'm 7 days from getting my period. That means I'm in the luteal phase, which we can go through the phases really quick. If you guys aren't familiar, it's menstrual phase. So when you're on your period, then you go into your follicular phase, So that's when you're starting to feel a little bit better and you might be able to start doing those more intense workouts. Yeah. So then it leads up to ovulation, that one day event where you're feeling your most energized. And then we go into your luteal phase where you're getting in closer back to having your period again. So then you kind of go down and then at the bottom, you hit that period again. So that's that loop. So I like, again, referencing that period tracking app stuff. I'm like, okay, wait, why am I feeling so low? And it's like, oh, you're getting your period in 3 days. I'm like, okay, that's why my energy levels are like kind of tanked, or I'm feeling more, not depressed, but like less optimistic about the world. It's always the luteal phase. And I've talked about that on the show before, but like having the cycle syncing has fully helped me with my emotion regulation too. Of like, wait, why am I questioning every decision I ever made in my life? Oh, 5 days on period. That's the luteal phase. But again, with that physical wellness, this has been so helpful for me because if I am on my follicular ovulation phase and I'm not pushing myself in a workout, it's like, no, you need to try harder because physically and data-wise, this is your best time of the month. Like you need to actually push yourself in this workout versus if I'm in that menstrual or luteal phase, I'm like, okay, I can just do my best here and that's okay.
You said that you use a tracking app to note when you have your period. I should probably do that. I have just been using the moon and I was a new moon bleeder for like the last year. Like I would always get my period on the new moon. And then when it was the full moon, I would like be in my ovulation phase, like on the prowl, ready to like go socialize and do a hard workout. And that felt like it made more sense in my brain. I don't know, like full moon, you're shining bright. And then all of a sudden, last month, like I bled, first day of my period was the full moon. And
wait, do you know that that is like statistically proven that most people get their period on the full moon? I get mine on the full moon. It's like it goes back to our biology of like being, I don't even know. I literally just learned that like I have a daily like spiritual wellness book and talks about how a lot of people get on the full moon.
I know there's like two names for if you're a full moon bleeder or a new moon bleeder. And I think the full moon bleeders were the medicine woman. And then there was something different with the new moon bleeders. But I felt more aligned when I was the other way. They're both good.
Yeah.
And I think it's because,
like, dang, I liked the other one.
Yeah, yeah. I was gone so much in the month of December. You know, I was traveling around and I like wasn't in my regular routine and rhythm here. And I think it just kind of like got me out of sorts because I did some research too, like historically bleeding on the full moon or the new moon. And they're both have a lot of cultural significance, but they're different. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious to just look into that more. I don't have literally anything to report on the topic right now, but you guys can maybe take that and do your own research or whatever based off of your cycle. Yeah, and we can talk more about nutrition next week, but that goes a lot into cycle syncing as well, because as your body is preparing, it thinks to have a baby, and then it's like, okay, we're not pregnant. That uses different things in your body. So at one part of your phase, you need more nutrients of this type, and then another type.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also feel like this plays a lot into my socializing. Like it makes sense right now. I'm exactly 2 weeks away from when I had my period. So I should be right in that ovulation phase. Why I was like, I want to go hang out with the girls. I want to socialize. Like I went to Tulum Dinner Club, Tulum Cafe Club. I went and had a beach day. It was like, I want to be outside of the house. I want to go and do stuff. And that is not me all the time. Like there are many weeks where I'm like, I'm good in my apartment. Maybe I'll go get coffee. But like, I pretty much want to be by myself. And I did something social like every day for the last like 5 days. So I think cycle syncing is also really tied into how much energy you have to socialize with people.
And I've just like really tried to use data or try to use rational thinking to combat like my emotionalness. And you did write down something that you're doing in 2025 is being less emotional about working out. Do you want to talk about that?
Yes. I can't talk about this without going quite personal and vulnerable. So Clay and I were together for like 6.5 years. He was an accountant. He got his master's in accounting and had more of a traditional career, 9 to 5, whatever. That wasn't making him happy. And he's always been very athletic. He played D1 football. is just, he works very hard, but he is naturally very athletically gifted. He's coordinated. He has very good body awareness. So it was natural for him to pursue a career in fitness when he was deciding on a career change. So he became a CrossFit coach and a personal trainer. We have recognized in our relationship that for our egos, it is very hard for me because basically fitness is like his other thing that takes away a lot from us. Like he, you know, had to take a huge pay cut for a while he went back and did a career change, he worked his way back up, like to get the coaching hours, to build his clients. So I had to carry a lot of the financial burden. And then doing that, I didn't have as much time to go to the gym. I didn't have as much time for my friends because he was full pursuing that, that it kind of made me like angry at fitness in general. Like it had nothing to do with fitness. It just had to do with that is how he was spending the vast majority of his time, like at the gym, because he would coach classes, work out himself, personal train, work out himself again, come home, do his recovery. It was like this all day thing because when you're building up your career, you know, you kind of have to go hard. And we can talk about this another time, but on the flip side, me being more entrepreneurial and content creation, that was kind of my thing for Clay that was like triggering for him, where it was like, well, because of your untraditional career and like sharing a lot online, it like made him not want to have an entrepreneurial career and post online because it was like triggering for the other person. And I noticed that in this transition, it made me, yeah, just like mad at fitness because I was actually mad at Clay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was the only one suffering then. It was like, why did I didn't have to give up my fitness and my time with myself. And I didn't consciously recognize I was doing it at all. Because before he did that, like I did state cross country and track. I did 75 hard twice. Like I've always been very active. In college, I was like at the gym every day. I've done half marathons. And then the moment that he became like a personal trainer, it was like so humbling to me because then I felt like I had to know exactly what I was doing. Like just because he knew what he was doing, it felt like I compared myself so much because then I would go to the gym and he'd be like, well, what did you do? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, just don't ask. Like, I don't know. Like it was starting to get really pushing on my insecurities because I felt like I wasn't doing it properly or enough or something. So then it kind of just made me not want to do it or just do it more in private instead of utilizing him as a resource and making that a fun thing we could do together. And I go into depth about that because I think fitness can be such an emotional thing for so many people because it's so vulnerable. Like you are so seen over your body and how well you can move it. It's just, it can be very, very humbling, especially if you're new to a certain type of fitness. Like we've all probably have one, like maybe you've done a lot of yoga, but you feel insecure weightlifting. Maybe you are a good runner, but you've never gone to a Legree class. But I think all of us have felt insecure in a physical form of movement, a workout class, a type at some point in our life. And because that is so triggering and activates such an emotional response of like insecurities and inferiority, it makes us not want to put ourselves in that position again and again and again. It's not like something where you go skydiving and you're like, that was really scary for like one day, or like, I need to ask my boss for a raise and that was scary for like one day. Like your physical wellness is something you have to do every day, 4 to 5 times a week. So you are confronting that emotion so often. And we like to hide from that. We love to distract ourselves. We like to do things that we're better at or that we feel more confident in. And that is just something I've recognized in the last year is how much emotion I had about fitness that just kind of like developed over the last 2 years, to where before I was just more black and white with it. I was just like, I don't know, I'm just going to go for a run today. I'm going to go to this yoga class. I'm going to go to a Legree class. And yeah, it was just like a lot of emotions got packed up with it. And now this year, my goal is to kind of detach from it more. And I can link this video, but there's this guy, if you're sensitive, don't look him up. He's like Andy Frisella vibes, but he's very, very honest. And he has this video that I came onto my For You page and he was saying how he said dumb. So I'm just going to say it. He was like, dumb people tend to be really fit or have an easier time achieving fitness goals because they actually don't overthink it. They're literally like, oh, I have to work out, I get results. They're just like, okay, A plus B equals C, like, let's go. And a lot of times, if you are really self-aware or you want to like make a program or a system to achieve it very efficiently, or you like are overthinking it or you're in your head instead of just going and doing it. And that resonated with me so much when he said that, because I was like, you're right. I see so many people who I'm like, I don't want to say they're dumb, where I'm just like, they're not defined by their intellect. And I'm like, how are they figuring this out? How are they figuring out how to get fit and eat the right things? And I'm like, oh, they're just doing it. They're not overthinking it. They're just going to the gym. They're just moving their body. And in result, they're getting results. And that's what I did in college. Like, I didn't know anything. I just knew I should move my body. And then therefore, I was very fit.
That, I feel like, applies to so many areas of life. Like, how many other areas of life too? In any dimension of wellness, or even just our careers, we overthink things. And Morgan Zanotti, the entrepreneur we had on a couple months ago, they sold their company for $200 million. She's like, I don't know what I was doing. I just go. So I really resonate with that too. Just with any area of our life, like, how much do we overthink? I'm sure it's kind of like a bell curve of like how smart you are to how successful you are. Like, the smartest people on the other ends are probably at the bottom, because it's like that bell of they're overthinking everything, that they don't do anything.
Mm-hmm. It's like, you know too much to know that there's all these ways you could do it. So you're like, okay, I'm going to stop and I'm going to research and I'm going to plan it all out before I do it, instead of just doing it and learning in the process and being like, okay, you know, I decided I don't like boxing. Okay, not going to box anymore. I do like boxing, but just for the example, or like, oh, I was really into running. Now maybe I don't want to run. I'm getting into weights. It's just something you have to figure out for yourself. And I also think it activates insecurities when we don't like a certain type of fitness, because then we just assume that we're lazy in general. Like, if you don't like weightlifting, that's okay. That doesn't mean you're lazy. Maybe you just like cycling, or you like sculpt classes. Maybe you're someone who doesn't like to go to the gym by themselves and they prefer group fitness. As with anything in life, like, let's compare it to reading. Some people love fiction. Some people love nonfiction. Some people like romance. Some people like mystery. Just, if you only tried reading romance and you were like, I hate this, you could then miss out on all these other types of books out there. And it's like, I think you just have to find what type of movement you really, really like. And it doesn't have to be everything. Even the most fit people, they're not doing everything. They found a type of movement that they love that fits with their schedule, and they just keep doing it.
1,000%. A couple other mental excuses that I can relate to. The top tip for me has just been, how can I use more data and more logistics to get myself out of these mental hurdles? The big one for me is, I need more sleep. I've never missed a workout class. I will literally never skip a scheduled workout class. It's a big tip of, can you actually schedule going to workouts? Because I will not get charged $20 for skipping class. But if I'm going to the gym that day and I tell myself I need more sleep, I might skip it. But knowing that men typically need 7 to 8 hours and women need 9 to 10, that has been so helpful for me, because I'm like, no, if I got 9 hours, I'm feeling tired. Who cares? You need to get up because you got your 9 hours. So stop crying and get up and go to the gym. Do you have any other mental excuses that you resonate with?
This one kind of goes into the I don't have time, but something that I haven't talked about in my transition to Tulum is Peach's adjusting. She is really lonely here, and I do a good job of like taking her out to the coffee shops, but this city is not walkable. Like, the streets are not finished. It's so muddy. There's a lot of homeless dogs, and I was okay with her like going up to them at the beginning, but then she got fleas and parasites. So I'm like, okay, you can't play with the homeless dogs anymore. It's really sad. And the beach, even if we're trying to walk on the beach, like, the homeless, like, or people's dogs, like, there's no leash laws here. So like, they just like run up on her, and it's kind of like stress inducing for me. So I just like haven't been able to walk her like I used to in Omaha. There's not coordinated dog parks here. Like, I loved taking her to the dog park, and being her only person here, it has been weighing on me so much of like trying to make her happy. And so when I leave, she's been barking, like she's having separation anxiety issues. And then when I'm gone, and if I know she's barking, it causes me so much anxiety. So then I can't enjoy my workout or my Pilates class, because I'm like thinking about how she's like so sad and anxious, and like, I don't want to be disrupting my neighbor. And so I like talked to my neighbor about it. I like gave her a key, and it's just been a whole thing. And I'm sure that some of you guys have kids or there's something in the way that's like making it hard to like just literally get to the gym. Like it's actually not really the motivation for me. It's like the logistics of I'm like, okay, I have to time this right so that I walk her so she's like more tired and then my neighbor's gone so that if she's barking, it doesn't disrupt her. And I don't know how long she barks. I don't know if this is like 5 minutes, 15 minutes. And so then I've been trying to wean her onto this. So like I would practice leaving for like just 20 minutes, like just go run an errand and then longer building up to like being able to be gone for like 2 hours. And yeah, it's like really hindering my well-being right now because then as I'm getting frustrated or like house crazy, I'm like, all I want to do is go to the gym. But now in order to do that, I've got to like do all this other stuff. And like, I don't have time to coordinate this to just spontaneously go get a quick 30-minute workout in. And I know that that's like all excuses. And that's what was coming through to me when I was making this outline was like, that's just something I need to figure out. So the main solution I'm thinking about right now is finding a dog sitter that comes over like 3 days a week at a certain time to at least give me for sure 3 times where I get to go to the gym. And then if there's other times that it works out, then that's like a bonus. But knowing for sure that I can get that in. And it was just like, oh, I don't want to pay for it. Then I'm paying for my gym membership and to have someone watch my dog. And it's like, well, that's just probably going to be what it has to be. She didn't choose to come here. I brought her here. And it's my responsibility as her parent to help her transition better. And it's helping me prepare for the reality of what it would be like to be a mom to like an actual child. Like you see so many moms that are like, oh my gosh, like I need some alone time like so bad. And it is, it's a whole thing to get a sitter or take them to daycare or something. Is I've just been doing more, I call them exercise snacks at home. Like I'm just like, okay, I'm just doing a couple rounds of air squats. I'm going to do some plank holds. I'm going to do some abs. I'm going to do a wall sit. So then in the middle of my workday, I'm not getting as stir crazy because I'm doing more stuff at home. And I think physically that's helping because I'm still getting that in. But mentally, I'm like, I want to go to the gym or a yoga class so that I can not think about being at home for a little bit. So I still do want to find like a proper solution. But in the meantime, I've just been doing a lot more at home workouts so that I don't, you know, go backwards in my fitness goals.
Yeah, I think finding those solutions for whatever situation is, I'm sure for a lot of people it is kids. And for my younger mom friends, I know that getting back into the gym was so stressful because same, those emotions you were saying reminded me of what they said, like I had so much anxiety leaving them alone for the first time, or I'd have my phone. When you were actually telling that story last week of someone having their phone on a yoga mat, I'm like, oh my gosh, I know a young mom that did that. And like people got mad at her, but she's like, I literally just left my baby for the first time. Like I'm so anxious. I'm so stressed. And I see both sides. Like I feel bad for her because she was like, this is literally the first time I left my newer baby since being pregnant. And, but then like the other people in the yoga class were like, why do you have your phone on the mat? Like, so it's kind of funny how everything has, there's so much gray area in life, but finding those ways to combat those hurdles, like we said, is a good place to start. Another big hurdle I think people say is not knowing how to do things right or not seeing results. A few tips for this. I'm definitely someone who had so much anxiety when I first started weightlifting about not doing things right. And I mean, you really just have to push through. First of all, when you're at the gym, literally no one is looking at you. And I feel like there are times where if you are doing something wrong, at least just trying to do it, people will come up and help you, or don't be afraid to ask questions. Like if you see someone who's killing it, crushing it in the gym, I feel like a lot of people would be actually flattered if you went up to them and said, hey, I saw you're doing that right. Do you mind like helping me a little bit? Like I'm doing something off. I think that a lot of people are craving community, craving connection. So many of us work from home. Like if I was at the gym and I was doing a squat and someone came up to me and they're like, wait, do you mind showing me how to do that? I would be so flattered. I'd be like, wow, I'm on top of the world. Like someone admired me and like thought I was a good resource. But that's not my way of doing it. Honestly, my way of not knowing if I don't know how to do something, there's so many YouTube videos out there. For me, I do a lifting plan actually made by Julian, my brother-in-law. And if there's ever something I don't know how to do, a quick TikTok search, a quick YouTube search, it literally takes me 20 seconds and then I know how to do it. And then you just have to try it out and look in the mirror and just kind of adjust yourself, or if you feel like you're doing something wrong. So the mental excuse or the hurdle of not knowing how to do things right, you can find a video out there for truly anything. If you are feeling your squats more in your lower back, like look up feeling squats in lower back. They'll tell you exactly how to correct it. So for me, as someone who was a little scared to get more into weightlifting, that has been, that kind of proved that excuse wrong. Is like, there is truly a resource out there for free for everything related to that.
I'm definitely someone who learns better with that in person. Like, I have to be doing it. And then my body's like, oh, okay. Like, I feel that difference. So while I love that suggestion, and I still definitely do that too, I would recommend hiring a personal trainer to just show you the movements in the gym. Like, I definitely get it. Like, having a personal trainer indefinitely is a huge expense that most people probably can't afford. But if you could hire them for, say, a couple sessions that are like, I just want to be more familiar in the gym. Like, can you just go and show me how to use these machines? Show me what this movement does, what muscle group this is activating. I think that that would help give a lot of confidence in the gym, because that's what I've done with Clay, where I'm like, I don't expect you to be my one-on-one personal trainer forever. Like, you have your own stuff to do, as like, I'm not going to help him with every single social media post forever. Like, but we can go through the motions together so that then when you're doing it on your own, you feel more comfortable. So yeah, I would say maybe like once every 2 months we'll go together and I'm like, can you just show me like more new things?
Okay, cool. Yeah, absolutely. I think even if you're in a workout class, I know that every single time I talk to an instructor, they're so happy that I talk to them. I've never, like, I literally, the last time I talked to my new plank instructor, I was like, I took your class last week. I didn't get a chance to say hi. And he's like, thank you so much for saying hi. There's so many people that don't say hi. And I was like, if I'm ever doing something wrong, please feel free to correct me. I feel like offering yourself up for that critique, or even after class, you talk to them, be like, if you have a question about something, I feel like they're always so down to help. And like, it makes them so happy, because a lot of people that are coaches want to help, and that's their purpose in life, is to kind of correct and help. So don't be afraid to ask for those types of questions if you feel like anxiety around doing things wrong is a reason that you're not going to the gym.
Absolutely. And talking about utilizing the instructor, I've found that when I go to classes with fewer people, I get more of that one-on-one, because of course, if you're an instructor and you have a class size of 20 people, there's only so much help that you can do around the room in 1 hour. But if you can see in an app, or if there's just weirder times of the day that maybe not a lot of people are going to that class, I have found that the group classes I've gone to with fewer than 5 people is where I've gained a lot more confidence, or got that one-on-one instruction either before class, during, or after, because the instructor actually had time to, you know, work with you on how you're doing a movement or provide some sort of comfortability in that class.
Absolutely. A couple more a lot of us deal with is comparison, and either just thinking about how other people look or how far other people are with their physical journey, and how we're starting from square one and we're just so far from where they're at. I think that for me, maybe something that gets in my head is seeing other people who have really stuck with things. And I'm like, wait, why have I failed at this? Having like a lot of judgment of myself, or getting mad at myself for not sticking with things. Do you have any thoughts with this, with comparison or focusing on your own journey? Because I mean, that's definitely something that I feel like I'm constantly always working on.
Oh my gosh, 100%. I felt so much insecurity when Clay was getting really, really good at CrossFit and was around very, very, very fit CrossFit women every single day. And I was like, damn, like, I have literally no muscle compared to these people. We can talk about this more next week, but this is why I stopped being vegan, as I, over the last 2 years, like, did not get enough protein at all. And I feel like I lost so much muscle mass. So now I'm eating meat and prioritizing protein again. But then I realized I don't want to be a CrossFit girl. Like, I tried going to some of those classes, and when I am not trying to body shame. So I really hope this does not come off that way. But the build of a CrossFit body for a woman is just not my dream body type. Like, that's okay. It makes them happy. Love that. It's just not even a goal of mine. So I was like, why would I compare myself to these people just because, am I like, oh, is that what Clay finds attractive? When I'm like, it doesn't really matter, because I don't want to do CrossFit or look like someone who does CrossFit. I want to be more lean. I want more of a Pilates body, more of that womanly figure with like a bigger butt, smaller arms. Like, that's my personal physical look goal as part of fitness. So yeah, there's no need to compare myself to someone outside of that realm where I'm like, that's not even what I'm going for. Like, I can just be happy for them, that makes them happy, and not have to internalize my insecurities so much around that.
I agree with that. If I ever feel like I'm comparing myself, it's like, okay, well, there's so many know, there's so many things you can think about that help you think that, like, okay, maybe that person doesn't travel as much. They have the routines, like they're very much a homebody or work from home, or they have more time. I don't know.
No, I agree with that. Like, I know if I didn't travel as much, if I didn't go out and socialize as much, I would be more fit. It requires a routine, typically, in order to get that level of results. And I'm like, I know I'm not willing to give up traveling, eating out, yeah, having fun with friends, staying up late. And so I can reach my fitness goals. It's just going to take longer. And that's okay. I just have to then give myself grace with being like, well, of course, I'm not going to see results of like budding muscles like next week if I'm like going out with friends and not even drinking, just like, you know, being up late, being in a stimulated environment, eating out versus someone who's like counting all their macros and being very diligent about the routine. So like, that's okay, because I don't want to do that at this time in my life. I want more balance across all of the areas and slowly trying to raise that baseline for all eight dimensions over time, not just skyrocket one of them in a way that compromises my progress or happiness in the other areas. And that's just for me. Maybe that's not what you guys want, and that's okay.
Okay, I feel like final hurdle that a lot of us can relate to, the all or nothing mindset. I think a lot of us, when we're on this wellness journey, we want to do all or nothing. And it's so much easier if you can just give yourself grace. Like some of the common excuses I wrote down, if I can't get a full workout in this morning, let's just not go to the gym. Or I fell off track on my workout plan, so I might as well just quit and try something else. It's like, okay, let's just focus on progress over perfection. Can we just pick back up where we left off on that workout routine? You don't need to throw it all to the wayside. You don't need to just start all over. I think setbacks can just be learning opportunities, or they're just part of the process. Sometimes you're going to miss a day or two, but just try to keep persevering. And I love your workout snack, exercise snack idea, because that totally fits right in.
Oh my gosh, thank you. That's exactly how I was going to end this, was saying like, don't sleep on exercise snacks. It's funny because as someone who's not a big fitness person, I was like embarrassed of that concept. But with my Lemonade partnership, we have to make wellness content every single day. So I had made this post about exercise snacks and was like, I hope people aren't like laughing at me, like calling it that. Because if you go and do like a full workout, it's like, oh, that's a full meal. But if you were going through a day, if you couldn't get a full meal, you're like, I still am going to have a snack. Like, I'm going to have some substance to try to move forward. So I was like, why can't exercise be the same way? Like, if I can't get a full workout in, why not do some tricep dips on my chair? Why not do a wall sit at home? Why not just do some burpees in my living room? So I make this post. Okay, a year later, I'm listening to some podcast on, it was either like Huberman, one of the really, really good podcasts. And he had a guest on who was a specialist in this area, and he had a different name for it. But he talked about how essentially exercise snacks are actually very, very efficient and can really help move the needle. Like, it's not just the physical, but if I'm sitting on my laptop, I'm starting to get kind of brain fog, or like the creative juices are not flowing, I literally stand up at my desk and just like do 100 jumping jacks. Or when Peaches is like going to the bathroom, I just like do a wall sit, like while I'm waiting, or if the coffee is brewing, I'm just like doing air squats in my kitchen. It wakes me up so much. I immediately feel this boost of like, no, I'm not lazy. Like, it's fine. Like, it like gets me up and going. And then I feel like I'm more dialed in on whatever I'm working on at home. Or I did it yesterday and then I was like, yeah, I'm gonna deep clean my apartment now. Like, it woke me up in the morning to just getting the blood flowing. So I'll link that post in the show notes, but you could probably also like Google like 5-minute at home workouts, or just think of anything that you can do with your body that you don't need any equipment at home. There's so many different abs, planks, like I said, wall sits, air squats, burpees, mountain climbers. There's actually a lot you can do at home. And I saw this one other girl's post who was a new mom pretty recently on Lemonade. And she was like, if your main excuse has been like, you can't go to the gym, she's like, here's my before and after. I did every single workout at home with my like child in the room. Like, I lost all this weight. I toned up literally from body weight stuff, or like, you know, small dumbbells at home in my living room. And I just loved that she posted that, because it's like, yeah, we really can do a lot. And do you remember like a month ago when I said I was kind of romanticizing jail, being in jail or prison, because I'm like, these dudes are getting like fucking yoked in prison. And you know what I mean? Like, they're just using their body. Like, maybe some of the prisons, I don't know, I've never been to prison, have like more proper gyms that they can go to. But like, those people are getting more fit than when they went into prison. And not everyone, of course. I'm sorry. I'm probably saying this like so politically incorrect. Hopefully you guys can just like decipher what I'm talking about, that it you don't have to go to the gym or go to a bougie yoga studio in order to move your body. There is a lot you can do for free or at home or in short 5-10 minute time frames.
And there's so many people out there documenting this progress. There's so much inspiration out there. But I agree. Any of those financial excuses or time excuses, there has been so many case studies out there of people saying no. Actually, like I know I saw a Reddit post or TikTok comment once of this guy who was like, I was severely overweight and I just made myself walk to the grocery store. Anytime I wanted groceries or if I wanted to go get a snack, I made myself walk to the convenience store. It's like, I literally lost 100 pounds from doing that. So there's truly no excuse. And I love that at the beginning of the episode that you said, this is the one area of our wellness that there truly is no real reason for why you're not achieving it. So I feel like at the end of the day, acknowledging these hurdles is so important and helpful. And just using that data and not overthinking it has been my biggest tool, my biggest resource of trying to get past all these. And I think we gave some really good arguments today.
We did. I'm going to marinate on them myself further and use it to try to help move the needle even a little further this year.
And get out of our heads. Get out of those excuses. Just get back into the rational thinking and push forward.
I love the quote, be brave enough to be a beginner. And because that can apply to so many things. Like we're all a beginner at something. So if fitness or a certain type of fitness is new to you, try to channel the confidence that you have from another area of life to be like, yeah, I was a beginner at sewing. I was a beginner at reading, whatever it is, at some point in my life, and you went through it. And in doing the steps along the way, you gained that confidence. You're never going to have confidence at the beginning. And I think that that was what I had to realize with fitness is the confidence is earned as you go along. So if you say like, I'll start going to the gym once I'm confident, well, you gain the confidence by going to the gym, or you gain the confidence by, you know, like becoming more fit and comfortable in your body, however your goals are for you. So you can't wait until you're confident, because it's an earned result of doing the hard thing.
Totally. I feel that way being from when I was in my first Legree class, and I'm 100 plus in. And I think back of when I'm like, oh my God, I used to not know what any of these words meant. If they're like, okay, we're doing dolphin. Like, I remember just having to look around and, you know, feeling a little bit insecure of like, oh my gosh, these people think I'm stupid. I don't know what I'm doing. But now it's like, I could do this with my eyes closed. Like, I know exactly where we're going. And that was, like you said, it was earned. And I think that we can all do that in whatever wellness or physical area of our life we're trying to go for. Absolutely. Well, thank you guys so much for being here. We'll see you next week for another episode of Already Friends.
Bye.
Bye.